Romans, and go and look at a couple verses. You know, I was thinking about when Kevin was teaching, and I appreciate his lesson, and in Romans chapter 1, I was thinking about the power of God, and he talked about, he made reference to this world, and they deny the power of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. People want to feel something. I was listening to a preacher this morning on the radio, and he was talking about how, you know, if you didn't have salvation, that you could feel something was wrong. And I believe that there is joy, and I believe there is peace, and I believe we can feel that in our inner man, and we have peace. I have peace about my salvation. Why? Because I know that the Lord Jesus died for me on that cross. And my only hope is in Him. And He is my hope. And that's what the Bible says that He is. My hope is not in what I can do. My hope is in what He's done for me. And if that's not enough, then there's nothing else that I can do. There's no other work that I could possibly do to gain God's favor in my behalf. I can't do it. So it would be foolish for me to put my hope and my trust in my goodness, because I don't have any. And so the power of God is, I'm not interested in something that I can feel. I'm interested in some facts that have been written down for my admonition and for my learning and for my knowledge, that I may abound in hope. Look in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, verse 15, so as much as in me is all my strength, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He's ready. He's willing. He's ready. Everything I got in me, I'm ready to preach. And that should be our desire. As believers in the body of Christ, we ought to be willing and ready to go at the drop of the hat when the Lord calls. To witness, to bring this message of grace, to do whatever we need to do in order to get the gospel out to people that they might be saved. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is where the righteousness of God is revealed. God, the righteous God, could not be righteous if He simply let you in and just forgave you without your sins being paid for. Your crimes had to be paid for. They had to be dealt with. And we talk about salvation free and it is to us, but it was not free to the Lord Jesus Christ. God had to deal with your crimes, your sins, or He wouldn't have been righteous. If God would let this world save them, take them to heaven without ever dealing with their sins, then He wouldn't be a righteous God. He would be an unjust God. I use the law enforcement a lot. And we have men in here that's in law enforcement. And I appreciate these men. And the Bible talks about them being the ministers of God. And they minister under the ordinance and the power that God has established on this earth. And they go out there and they risk their lives. And they apprehend a dangerous criminal. And they have the goods on him. They bring him in before a judge. And they got the evidence. And they bring all the evidence there. And they lay it out before the court. And that judge says, "I find him not guilty." Boom, out he goes. What would you think about him? You'd think he was unjust, wouldn't you? You'd think he was ignorant. He was unjust, and it wasn't right to let a criminal go that the law had apprehended, and they had the goods, and they knew he was guilty, and the evidence pointed all the way, there's no doubt about it, and the judge lets him go. I'd say he's a crook. Well, the evidence against you, the law apprehended you, the law brought guilt to you, and you're standing before God Almighty, the righteous judge, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. And there He is. There's the righteous judge there. And He's got to deal with your crimes and your sins. The law demands it. And His righteousness demands it. He demands it Himself. He cannot let you go free. So what is He going to do? How is He going to maintain His righteousness and be the righteous God, the righteous judge that He is, and save you too? You can't pay for your sins. Your sacrifice that you would bring, it becomes you. Whatever you offer to God, it has your fingerprints on it. It has you on it. You become one with whatever you give Him. You are identified by your sacrifice. So whatever you offer, you're it. It's as though you're offering yourself. If you're unclean, your sacrifice is unclean. So what in the world are you going to do? How is God Almighty going to be righteous and give and save you and bring you to Himself? Well, He had to pay for your sins. Look with me in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, and notice in verse 28. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, let's read verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His own blood." Well, whose blood was shed? A little light from the class. Who? Is he God? Now, y'all know the answer to that, don't you? It says there, the church at which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood, that Jesus Christ is God. And he shed his blood for you. God shed his blood for you. There had to be a sacrifice that could please God and satisfy the righteousness of God, or he couldn't have saved you. And so the only one that could be righteous and satisfy the righteousness of God was God's Son. And so God brought his Son into the world and delivered him up. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, I never get tired of preaching this or hearing this, because to us who believe, this is the power of God. The power of God has to do with God's ability to forgive you of all your sins without you doing anything for it. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God in that he maintained his integrity and his righteousness, and yet he's saving sinners without them doing anything. Isn't that something? So I don't work for my salvation, so if I don't work for it, I can't work to keep it either. If God won't accept my good works in that he can save me by my good works, what makes you think my good works is going to keep him me saved? If they ain't acceptable for salvation, why would they be acceptable in keeping me saved? Well, they're not. Look what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? And these things is from verse 28 through 30. What shall we say to them, these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He, God, that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, his Son, also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. I mean, folks, no doubt about it, God does all the work. And not only that, but he makes intercessions for us. And he keeps us saved by his own power and his own righteousness. Myself, I can't keep myself saved. I can't save myself. I can't offer myself to God and be acceptable. And so I have to trust what the Lord Jesus did for me in A.D. 33. Look what Paul says there in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, notice in chapter 1. In verse there, in verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said in verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How can he keep it? Because of the cross. Because of the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? It's that power that can forgive sinners without about them doing anything. It's that power that keeps them saved and in the body of Christ and keeps them righteous. Look with me and notice this hope. You'll find something. So what is a hope? Why are you there in Timothy? Turn over to chapter 1. And notice in, let's see, the 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, verse 1, of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our what? Hope. I hear people say, I asked them, are you saved? Well, hope I am. And the next question, I say, well, what's your hope been? Everybody in this building, everybody that's going to listen on the internet, everybody that's going to listen to the tape, everybody that ever listens, their hope is in something. I hear people say, well, I don't even believe in a God. Then you're hoping that there's no God. Everybody's hoping is in something. Your hope is either in your goodness, that you're counting on you having enough good works to outweigh your bad works and God's going to accept you, or you're hoping that there is no God, or you're hoping that being a part of a church is your salvation, or you're hoping your hope is in the Lord. What's your hope in? Well, it can't be in my goodness because I don't have any. If I'd go around each one of you and I'd say, what do you hope? What's your hope? Well, my hope's in the fact that Jesus Christ went to that cross and became my sacrifice. And I've committed my soul and my eternal destiny to Him in that fact, and I'm persuaded by the Word of God, He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him based on the fact that He died for me. Now, if He wasn't going to keep me, why would He die for me? Huh? What would be the need of Him dying for anybody that He wasn't going to keep in to start with? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And God has quickened us together with Him, having forgiven us all trespasses. Folks, my sins have been dealt with. My sins have been took care of. And I am in Christ Jesus the Lord. And He is my hope, thank God. And when I lay down and I draw in my last breath, somebody says, Brian, what's your... My hope's in Him. What else can I put my hope in? Look in Galatians. My hope is in Him. Galatians chapter 5. Notice in Galatians chapter 5. And people that are trying to keep the law and the Ten Commandments, he said, verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. And that's the only place in the Bible that ever mentions about falling from grace. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with people that's trying to get salvation through the law instead of grace. And they fail from grace to go after the law. And you can't have it both ways. You can't be under grace and under the law. You can't be trying to keep the law for salvation or your goodness and still be saved by grace. You can't do it. If you're trying to keep the law, you're not believing in grace. If you're trying to have to keep the golden rule and do certain things for salvation, you're not grace. If it's of works, then it's not of grace. If it's not of works, then it's of grace. You can't have both of them. Look what he said in verse 4, 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of what? Of righteousness by faith. He's my hope. He's my righteousness. And someday I will be completely righteous. I'm righteous in Him, judicially speaking, right now, spiritually speaking. I am righteousness in Him. God sees His righteousness, but thank God someday I'll be completely righteous, and that's my hope. Hope of righteousness. A lot of people don't have that hope. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the rapture in chapter 4. The catching out. Notice in verse 13, he said, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He didn't say people that lost loved ones wouldn't sorrow. He said just don't sorrow like people that doesn't have no hope. You see, there's a hope of getting out of the grave. There's a hope of resurrection. There's a hope of His righteousness. There's a hope that we're going to have a body like His. A lot of people don't put their trust and hope. Job talks about the hypocrite's hope. The world's hope today is in their riches, in their wealth, in what possessions they have. They're depending on that. What would happen to you if God jerked the rug out from under you and you lost everything? What would your hope be? If you're not saved, it wouldn't be in the Lord. Your hope ought to be in Him. You ought to realize that that hope and what you have, if you have possessions, it came from the Lord. And as Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our hope is not in our homes and in our houses and in our bank account. Our hope is not in our good works. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and someday He's coming back for us. Paul called it a blessed hope. Look in Titus. In Titus chapter 2, looking, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then we're looking for the Lord. He is our hope. We're waiting for the day that we'll be completely righteous. Look back here with me in Romans. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This hope. Everybody that's saved has this hope. He said in verse 23, And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. We're not just hoping to get a body. It's an expectation of that body. It's waiting for that time when we will be adopted and have the redemption of our body. I'm saved spiritually, waiting to be saved physically. And my eternal life and my righteousness that I'm waiting, my hope of righteousness and my blessed hope, the Lord. He is the hope, and I'm waiting for Him, and He's going to change this old vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. And folks, someday it will happen. People act like they don't, but it's going to happen. He said, verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." The hope. Hope is anticipation, expectation in the heart of the believer for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians said that He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world. If you want to do a fascinating study sometime, just study that word evil. What got me to thinking about it, studying about it, one man, a preacher, said to me one time, said, "I know the King James has errors in it." I said, "Well, show me one." And he went to 1 Timothy and said, where Paul said, "The love of money is the root of all evil." And he said, "You know that's wrong, because money ain't the root of every sin. There's a lot of sins that money's not involved in." He said, "That's an error." I said, "Is that right?" "First of all, it doesn't say that money, the love of money is the root of all sin. Says that money's the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what evil is? Now, all evil is sin, but all sin is not evil. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Not evil. The Bible said, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin." Not evil. We know it's good to pray, and we know it's good to read our Bible, and we don't do it, but it has no evil content to it. Well, what's evil? Evil is that malicious thing. That's that dealing with hurt that hurts other people. You know what? The love of money is the root of all evil. Somewhere when people are hurt, and whenever it has to do with conning people or hurting people or being evil to people, evil speaking to people, all it all has to do with hurting people. It's usually money's involved. Somewhere in root. Or underneath where you can't see it. Not on top most of the time. This world is evil. This world would hurt you. And my hope is for the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me from this present evil world. I know I'm saved today, not because that I had a feeling. I know I'm saved today, not because that I act like I'm saved sometimes. Sometimes I don't. You see, sometimes you don't see me like June sees me. Sometimes I get ill. Sometimes I do things. You know, I say things sometimes that don't. And if somebody was there and they'd say, "Man, he needs to get saved." You say, are you that sorry? I'm probably sorry, a lot sorrier than that. But I know I'm saved based upon facts. What is that fact? That Jesus Christ took my punishment. He took my penalty. He became my sin. And He died for my sins on that cross. And I'm saved by the fact that He's my sacrifice. And I'm trusting in His work, not my work. I know I'm saved by the fact that His faith can't be tarnished. Look back with me in 2 Timothy again. In 2 Timothy. The Bible says there in verse 9 of chapter 1. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's His works, not our works. It's His faith, not our faith. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. He said, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. And He's talking about reigning. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. If I'm in His body, then for Him to deny me would be denying His own body. If we stop believing, He cannot deny Himself. The Bible says we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The faith is not of yourselves. The grace is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's His work, His faith, His grace. He did it all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I know I'm saved. Fact. He died for me. I know I'm saved. Fact. His faith is untarnishable. My faith might fail. And how do I know how much faith to have? The Bible says, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it will. Well, I don't know if I must not have that kind of faith. I don't know how to measure my faith. I know without faith it's impossible to please Him. So what is faith? Only way I know anything about faith is simply believing what He said. Faith is believing the facts. The facts are, you are a sinner, and you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and He died in faith. It's His faith that saves us. It's His death that saves us. It's His burial and resurrection that saves us. The power of God is in the gospel and not in us. Fact. I'm saved. Are you? Now there should not be nobody leave out of this building lost. Everybody in here should say, well, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Well, just trust Him now. How about just settle it right now? Say, well, I'm going to commit it to Him right now. I've heard the facts. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I've heard the facts. The good news is that Jesus Christ became the sacrifice and God shed His blood for me and God did the work. And the fact is, Jesus Christ is faith is what's going to get us through. Fact, fact, fact. You know the facts. Now believe them. And receive Him. And commit your soul unto the Lord. And He'll save you. And if you are saved, don't that make you want to appreciate what He did for you? Aren't you glad you don't have to just struggle and you know, did I sin? Did I say something today? Lord, if I said something today, forgive me. All me. And just work. No. All of a sudden. It's simply receive. Walk by faith, not by sight. Having a hope that someday He's going to take you out of this evil world. And isn't it going to be good when we get up there, folks? Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, you know what is my crown? What is my joy? Are not ye at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, isn't it going to be something when the Lord comes and He takes us out of this evil world and we look at each other and we joy in each other. You become my joy and my crown. I become your joy and your crown. I mean, we're just there and we have bodies like in Him and we're waiting to reign with Him and we're going to see the Lord. And all of these things is going to come to pass. Why? They're facts that God has wrote down. So what is faith? It's believing the facts. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith, if these all died in the promises, not having received them, but embraced them. They knew they was real. I've never seen Him, but I know He's there. Someday I will. Saved by God's grace. Peace. People worrying about the economy, collapse and losing. Let it go. Why? Can't lose that I put up there. He said, where your treasure is, there's your heart. Where's your treasure? Paul said, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth. What's up there that we're to have our affection? That's where the Lord is. You have a hope. One other passage and I'll turn back. Look in Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 5. Notice what he says. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You have a hope. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us there in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Look what he said. Notice what he said in verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. You know what you've got in heaven? The Lord's up there in heaven. He said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. He said, we're to look toward the heavens from whence the Lord's going to come. What's up there? The Lord. But you've got a body up there. That's what he said. You have a body that's already in heaven. It's eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. our house which is from heaven. If I could go to heaven right now and walk down through the heaven, and I believe heaven right now is on a planet somewhere out there that's like this earth, I'd find a body there that had my name on it. Right now. And when I wake up and the Lord comes, that quicker than that, we're going to be called up, changed. I mean, folks, you know, this thing's going to happen. So it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, it's just faster than you can snap your fingers. We're gone. It's not going to be like, well, here we go. Yep, moving on, getting on up there. They're coming down to meet us in the clouds, so we should be there after a while. It ain't going to be that way. It's not going to be, well, there goes the spirits. They're coming down into the grave, and they're going to come back up with us. Well, here we go. It's boom, over with. In that body. What a hope. Do you have it? Are you saved? Trust Him right now. Do it right now, and God will save you. Father, I thank You for Thy Word. I pray that I've made it simple. I pray that You'd use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray that it would edify the body of Christ. And Lord, You'd build us up in the faith. God, help this hope burn in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would glory in this. And if there's one that's lost, help them right now just to turn their salvation over to You. Help them to stop trying to be a Christian and start relaxing in the fact that You've done all the work for them. Help them just to rest in what Jesus did for us. And we'll thank You for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. Shake hands with one another.